Kevin, it's Sue. Help, help.
Root aggregation and increasing payload, multi-way peering and net-friendly C code, boxes that filter on source-rooted pings. These are a few of my favorite net things. Multicast native and option-free packets, VLANs that don't break and short AS path links, end-to-end measures with meaning to bring. These are a few of my favorite net things. When my links toast, when the spam grows, when my throughput hits ground, I simply remember my favorite net things, and then I don't feel so down. Far-reaching coverage and routing that's stable, aggregate flow stats and mice that are able to back off when shown that the net's being zinged. These are a few of my favorite net things. Routers that do red and balanced net loading, video apps with hierarchical coding, raw packet traces to dissect and see, all of my absolute favorite net things. When DNS freaks, when my roots leak, when I lose a peer, I try to remember my favorite net things and then go buy more Netgear. Visualizations of virtual networks, discovering features and new iOS quirks, vendor-built stacks that respect TCP. These are a few of my favorite net things. SNMP tools like MRTG, knowing how to unconfigure PVCs, measurement boxes that sniff OC3. These are a few of my favorite net things. When my page stalls, or they pass laws to invade free net speech, I simply remember that it could be worse. At least there's still sites I reach. Cool network geeks and their company perks, analysis tools in which true insight lurks, stable peer sessions and root symmetry. These are a few of my favorite net things. Multimode fiber with an optical splitter, BGP sessions config not to litter, reverting from ATM back to IP. These are a few of my favorite net things. When pop-ups leap, when copyrights creep into my browser's cache, I simply remember that SDMI will most likely burn and crash. Stock trading websites that haven't yet crashed, MP3 players with plenty of flash, having my cell phone talk to my PC. These are a few of my favorite net things. Linux and open and free BSD, persistence in TCP's HTTP, finally remembering my PGP key. All of my absolute favorite net things. When Mac hosts sting, or time waits bring servers to the ground, I simply remember my favorite net things, and then I don't feel so down.
Good evening. This is the Morning Report, Episode 3. I'm recording this on a Monday, December 17th, 2007. It's 6:45 at night. I'm on my way home from work. It's dark. The winter solstice is upon us. It's going to be a real short podcast. I I said when I started this that I didn't want to be under any kind of pressure or have a schedule to when these would come out. I think once a month is certainly reasonable, and it's now been a little over a month, well, a month and a half since my episode 2. So I want to get something out there, and the emphasis of this episode was about the network, and I planned this almost a month ago, right after episode 2 with the Hamfest. I knew I wanted to talk about the network in general, and now, you know, with these articles showing up on Slashdot about cloudware, cloud computing, both Microsoft and Google have announced that they're, you know, going to look at this cloud, cloud applications. You look at your Google apps. I talked in episode 1 about the web life. By the way, I should give you a quick update on the Nokia N800. It did arrive. It arrived shortly, I think it arrived 2 days before Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, Thanksgiving night I dropped it. I was showing it to somebody and I put it away in its case. And it comes with a very nice leather case, kind of a pouch. And I thought I had the top side up and I had it upside down and it tumbled down. Well, I powered it back up and it seemed to be working fine. The next morning, you know, I charged it up overnight as I normally did, and it seemed to be okay, but I was copying some media files. The next day I traveled to Lakeland to my brother-in-law's, and I wanted to put some media on there, some MP3s that I could listen to and sort of demonstrate. And I left it on, started heading down the interstate, and when I got there it was dead, dead as a brick, and I don't know what the problem was. I had left it on, and I thought, well, maybe it ran itself down trying to look for wireless, and I can't say I had experienced that yet. The whole time prior to that, I had been off work, and I had it around the house where there was always wireless. I left it on at night, but I would charge it up, and it seemed to do all that just fine. But it never really survived that, and I plugged it into the charger there in Lakeland, and it never really came back. And so I thought, well, I don't know what's going on here. So I brought it home, and I tried reflashing it, and of course, come to find out, when you power it up with a USB, it doesn't really power it. It only powers from the battery source, and I was really discouraged, so I thought maybe I broke it in some way. Maybe I broke the charger so that it wouldn't hold a charge any longer. I bought another battery on eBay, got it home, and plugged it in. It powered up for a while, but you could tell the battery didn't have a great charge on it, so I dutifully put it in the charger overnight and dead, the next day dead. Couple of times now I plug the charger in, I get it to wake up for a little while, and it quickly dies. So I've been busy with a web project. I've got several startup companies I've been trying to get going, and I really haven't spent a lot of time on it. But what I want to try is plugging the 800 into a power supply and bypass the battery, you know, go right to those clips and see if it really is just the battery, something screwing up the batteries, or if the unit itself has got issues. So, but I will say for the, I guess, 5 days I had it and played with it, it was fantastic. It really did what I wanted. I wanted to do a review podcast on it, but since it's died on me, I think I'll do that another day where I talk about some of the apps. Spent a lot of time installing apps on it and securing my intranet in the house with the SSL through the wireless and all that. But we'll get into that another day. I'll talk about that later. So, but anyway, this web life, you know, I wanted to run my apps web. And now, you know, I see they're talking about cloud computing and cloudware, cloud applications. The crux of the problem right now is the network has always been beleaguered by what's generally known as the last mile issues. The last mile issues, it can be wireless, it can be getting the connection to your house. These are challenges, and they're still not there. You know, I see a lot of emphasis on this cloudware, and they still have what they call the airplane effect. you know, you get on an airplane, your wireless devices won't work. I mean, I see that some airlines are talking about offering some rather expensive, I think, Wi-Fi options next year, 2008. I wish I could remember what the airlines were. There were two of them. I don't think Southwest was one of them. Lufthansa, maybe? I don't remember now. But, you know, I don't see wide adoption on airplanes of this. You can't really use the GTE phones they put in the airplane. It's expensive anyway. There's a huge gap here. We don't have good wireless connectivity. Going down the highway, you don't have wireless. You don't have Wi-Fi. You have EVDO. You have Sprint EVDO. You got Verizon EVDO. I don't think T-Mobile offers it yet. You've got cellular modems like Singular, T-Mobile. We're just not there. I think EVDO is a good all-around solution. I noticed the Kindle device that Amazon recently announced and released, their e-book reader or book reader, whatever you can call it, it has EVDO in it. That's a good start. But we need to have more widespread adoption for EVDO. Right now, I think that's our great hope. WiMAX seems to keep dying on the table. I mean, I'm a big supporter and fan of the WiMAX standard. I'm also waiting to see what happens with Google's bid in the 700 megahertz. I want to see what they plan to do with that. There's also the white space issue with television, the dead channels that are now freed up from not having the NTSC broadcast where it's all high def or standard def broadcast. I want to see where all that goes. There's still a lot of good options, but again, American politics, American companies, monopolies being what they are, the telecoms, the telcos, they just try to lock out all competition through maniacal use of the bands, band plans. So, you know, it looked promising with Google bidding on 700 and putting their stipulations of what they plan to do with it. I guess I secretly hope they win because of all of them, they had the least evil and most open plans. But then again, we know how Google can be. They can take things far. So, you know, the web-connected life, internet life, net life, we're still not there. It needs more maturity, I think, and wider adoption. You look at other technologies like the one laptop per child where it has mesh networking. I like that. I like that concept, and I wish that network cards that were available for Linux would do some more mesh networking. The ham radio operators have played with this. It's called the HSMM, the high speed. I don't remember what MM stands for anymore, but it basically it's ham radio 802.11. That has to do with mesh networking. There's some mesh networks that are pretty active out in Seattle and out on the West Coast. I don't see much of it out here. I'd like to see some more of that happening as well. Kind of a clustered cellular approach to things. But the long and short of it is we're just not there. The maturity of the networks are just not there. And whatever device, we should be... You know, we should have open devices by now. There shouldn't be all these competing standards. There shouldn't be all these competing technologies. And then you have device lock. You know, Verizon recently has announced that they're willing to open their devices. But still, they're going to have to be laboratory tested. They're not just going to take any old device. It's got to be lab tested in their lab before they'll take a GSM card into it. So... we're still not there. I don't have a lot of solutions for you, unfortunately. Meanwhile, I see that Fios is the fiber optic system up in the Northwest, the Northeast Verizon. That's really taken off, and I see some really happy people with Fios. We don't have that down here. I don't know what Verizon isn't even a local supplier down here. This is... Bell South and Sprint, well, actually Embark now in Central Florida. Sprint is, I guess, part of the merger with Nextel. They had to get rid of their terrestrial landlines, so Embark is that rolled-off business from Sprint. But when are we going to see Fios with, you know, vendors down here in Florida? It's strictly a Washington, D.C., New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia kind of thing. It's not happening down here, so that needs work. What else can I say about networks right now? Another thing that I think bears watching is what happens with IP version 6. IP version 6 has a lot of enhanced security. I won't say it is not spoofable, but it is much harder to spoof. I believe it carries the MAC address and the encoding, which can be spoofed. But it remains to be seen what the government does with IP6. I kind of was thinking that this rumored Internet Superhighway 2, or whatever Al Gore used to keep calling it, there is such a thing, and there are universities connected to it with the government. See, it's basically rehashed DARPA. And that's where the Internet got to start from, DARPA. Just wiki DARPA, DARPANET. And I believe that's IPv6. So how long will it be before someone starts dictating that the Internet has to be IPv6? You've got a lot of legacy gear out there with legacy IPv4 stacks. And so that's something to think about in the future. I think that's all I really have to say about networks. I think I pretty much run that out. The next podcast, I am going to do some train fanning. I haven't done this in a couple years, especially have never taken anybody. So I'm going to take you along. I don't know whether I'm going to Sanford or whether I'm going to go to Winter Park. Most of the train fans I knew hung out at Winter Park. I don't go to conventional locations. I tend to, you know, I might go up to Orange Avenue or some of the rail yards around here, like Rand Yard and different places that are not your conventional. But anyway, on the next podcast, episode 4, unless something else late-breaking happens, we're going to do some rail fanning. And you'll get to hear some of the radio signals. And if I'm lucky and I get 3 or 4 trains through, we'll cover what to listen for, what frequencies, and at least with CSX, maybe I'll do some Florida East Coast as well. That's over in Daytona. Maybe I'll catch some of that on some of my days off here. I got Christmas holidays coming up. Anyway, I think that'll be it. I'm going to sign off here, episode 3, and we'll look for you on episode 4. Take care.
Sweet, merciful crap!
I'm taking over a TV network.
Finish up, honey, and get to sleep. And happy birthday.
More people need to worry about their cell phones, too.
Cell phones are becoming digital wallets. 10 years ago, no one kept the type of vital information that they do today on them.
John Herring and some college schoolmates have set up a computer security firm in Los Angeles.
Devices in range?
From a rooftop, they pointed a long antenna at the street below.
Did you enable the attack?
It's gone. Perfect.
Where a co-worker with a cell phone pretended to be an unsuspecting victim.
We just pulled off the phone book entries and the text message inbox and sent message box of the phone without the user of the phone ever knowing what happened.
Cell phone use is changing. More and more people are using them, or handheld wireless computers such as this, to store private addresses, sensitive emails, perhaps the passwords to their bank accounts. The wireless hackers of the future may clog your cell phone with advertising, or they may do worse.
I think that this is a problem that is in its early stages, but that frankly has some harbingers in the wired world that don't make me very confident that we're up for a good future here.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.